Okay, so first of all, I would like to thank organizer for this opportunity to talk about the work on the KDIF model based on the quantum group point. Okay. So by the quantum group point, we mean weak Hopf algebra. Actually, they are the same thing, but different name, just because sometimes the name quantum group point sounds more interesting, attractive, or more stronger than the weak Hopf algebra. Okay. All right. So the motivation is that KDIF built his original quantum double model for a finite group, then anticipate his construction works for Hopf algebras. Then around 2011, the Hopf algebra construction was explicitly written down. And then the next natural direction to go further is to consider more general algebraic structure, like the weak Hopf algebra. Another reason to consider weak Hopf algebra is that a theorem of Ostrich says every fusion category is representation category of weak Hopf algebras. So there should be, yes?
Question, is this true, or should one also allow for quasi?
You mean with which? Quasi? Just weak. It's weak.
Well, okay. Sorry, what is it? I have an associate.
It's not his paper. You need to have a.
All right. Okay. I mean, in principle, there should be some KDIF model based on the more general algebraic setting. Due to the Levin model built based on the fusion category. Okay, so first of all, I would like to review the KDIF model again, even though in the past 2 days there have been lectures for the model already, because we can see some ingredient that can be generalized to the quantum group point. So in general, the lattice model just means we take a lattice on a surface general and then place place a boundary of vector space on the edge. And then the total Hilbert space just means the tensor product over all vector space assigned to the edges. Okay. Then for the KDIF original quantum double model, the vector space just taken to be the group algebra. That means we put group element on each edge. Then we can define two kinds of local operators called A operator, B operators, or vertex operator, predicate operators for each group element. So the first kind of local operator for a group element called a vertex operator, that means we take a group element H, then we act the H to each edge connecting to the vertex. That means it's just by the regular action. So from the left or from the right, it depends on the direction of the edge. And then the predicate operator just means we measure the total flux or the total product around the boundary of the phase. Then this construction can be generalized to the Hopf algebra setting. That means we place Hopf algebra on the edge, then the vertex operator just defined to be defined for an element in Hopf algebra in this way. That is, we take the Hopf algebra element and then compute the action of H to the tensor product around the vertex. So precisely, it just means we do the co-multiplication for H, and then take the tensor factor in the co-multiplication, and then act the edge from the left or from the right. It also depends on the direction of the edge. Okay. Then for the predicate operator, it's also some kind of action, but this time the action is the H star action. That means we look at a linear function on the half algorithm. Now here the alpha is from H star, the dual algebra. Okay? Then we just take the action of alpha on the tensor product around this phase. Okay? If you look at the dual picture, then you will see the predicate operator is defined using the same idea as the vertex operator. That means in the dual lattice, we have this picture. That means a face becomes the address adjacent to a vertex. Then we just define the action of alpha to each edge. That means we do the co-multiplication for alpha, and then act each tensor factor to each edge. Okay. Now here the action is taken to be the regular H star action from the left or from the right. Okay. So in this sense, there's some kind of duality between the vertex operator and the surface operator. Okay. Now, if we look at a site, that means a vertex is one corner of a face, then we put all the A operator and all the B operator together, then we will have a representation of corner double. That means the AB operator will satisfy the commutative relation in the definition of the corner double. Okay. Then, so the next step is to write down an Hamiltonian that is exactly solvable. That means we hope the turns in the Hamiltonian are commuting with each other. Right? So we can do this by choosing special element from half algebra and also from the dual of the half algebra. Okay, that means we can choose the element capital lambda from commutative element of H. That means when you do the coproduct for capital lambda, the result is that is the same as the opposite coproduct of the lambda. Right? So if you use the Schrödinger notation, that just means lambda 1 times lambda 2 equals lambda 2 times lambda 1. Then we have the same notion for the dual algebra. And then for a commutative element in the dual algebra, it just means it's a trace. Then it turns out if we just focusing on these two kind of co-commutative element, then you will have the AB operators are commuting with each other. Okay. Then we can we use those elements those operators associated with commutative element to build up the Hamiltonian. Of course, in order to be a Hamiltonian, then we need to impose some star structure. Just make sure this operator is Hermitian operators. Yeah. Then, we hope this operators are projector, just for convenience to compute the eigenvalues. Then, the ground state just means a common eigenstate for all operators. Because they are commuting with each other, so they can be diagonalized simultaneously. Okay, so this is a brief idea for the key type model based on the half algebra. Okay, and then we'll see the key ingredient to get a frustration-free Hamiltonian is to have co-commutative elements from H and also from the H star. Okay, and So we want to see what happens when we go to the more general algebraic structure, that is the corner group point or weak half algebra. Okay. So for a corner group point, we mean a vector space together with two algebraic structure, like algebra structure and co-algebra structure. That means we have multiplication unit, co-unit and co-multiplication. But this time, these two structure cannot be combined as a bi-algebra. Instead, they satisfy different axioms. But those axioms are mainly about the unit and co-unit. Honestly, I don't really know what's the physical meaning of these axioms. Okay? So originally, the study of weak algebra started, people started to define weak Hopf algebra in the study of subfactor theory. So I don't know whether there is a natural explanation in physics about the axioms. It turns out we can define many similar notion in the weak Hopf algebra as in the Hopf algebra. That means we still have integrals defined in the weak Hopf algebra. Okay? And then we can define what is the C star weak Hopf algebra and what is the R matrix so that we have quasi-triangular structure and also for the ribbon structure, then we can have completely parallel definition. Okay. Then when we consider the representation category, it turns out it's a tensor category, but this time the tensor product is not the ordinary tensor product over a complex number. You need to take a projection by the unit. Okay. Then the tensor unit is also different from just the trivial, the complex number. Well, it sometimes is called the target subalgebra in the corner groupoid. We can still have duality, and then we can define the braided structure, ribbon structure, and the modular structure on the representation category of the corner groupoid. So in this sense, most of the theory are parallel to the Hopf algebra. Okay. Now here I will talk about the corner double more precisely, because when we define the chaotic model, we will have the representation for the corner double. Okay. For a corner groupoid, is corner double also defined on the vector space H star tens H with a co-multiplication with the following multiplication? I mean, formally it's the same definition as the Hopf algebra. But in addition to get the corner double, we need to modulate an ideal spanned by these two equation, okay? And also it's about the co-unit. Then after that, after we modulate this ideal, we get the corner double for the corner groupoid, okay? And then inside a corner double, we have, formally the same definition for co-multiplication, co-unit, and the interval. Okay. So when we define the chaotic model for the corner groupoid, we just use the same definition as the Hopf algebra. That means for the vertex operator, the vertex operator for an element from the corner groupoid just defined to be the left action of H on the tensor product along the vertex, okay? And then we can look at the dual lattice to define the phase operator for an element from H star. That is, we take the action of alpha to the tensor product around the boundary of a phase. Okay. Then we can check those two operators satisfying all relations when we define the Conan double. Okay, so that means we indeed to get a representation of Conan double from these two type of operators. Okay, and then to build the Hamiltonian, just what I said before, we need star invariant idempotence, capital lambda and little lambda. Okay, then we just take these two special elements to write down the AB operator. Then we make a summation over all vertex and faces. Then we get an exactly solvable Hamiltonian. So the results for the existence of capital lambda and little lambda is that for C star Conan group point, we can always figure out those special elements. Okay? But this time, these two elements is not the same as the integral. Okay? In a semi-simple Conan group point, the square of antipole is not identity. It is induced by some group element. Then we use this group element to twist the integral. Then we will get this two commutative element. It's just like a trace. Okay, so this is the general principle to construct. Yes.
Under the second and third equations,
like
what's the difference between the Z and the W there?
I think I forgot to make clear where the Z and W come from. So I think the Z comes from, actually the Z comes from it's so-called the target subalgebra in the Conan group point. Okay? It just serves as the tensor unit and when we do the tensor product. Okay? And similarly we can have it's called the source subalgebra. That means we just define similarly but just switch the eta 1 and eta 2 and get the source algebra. And here, the Z comes from the target subalgebra, and W comes from the source subalgebra. So this is the general framework to define the Kitaev model based on the weak half algebra. Now let's look at some particular example. So the very basic example for Conan group point, just the finite group point. That means we look at a finite group point, then by a group point, I mean a category of finite many morphisms such that each morphism is invertible. That means when we draw the category by graphs, it just means the graph we can go along the path back and forth. Okay. Then, by doing a formal linear combination, we can get the group algebra. Okay, that is a Conan group point. The multiplication just we're doing the composition for the morphisms, and then the unit is the sum over all identity morphisms. And the commutation, co-unit, and antipode just the same as the finite group. I would like to talk about the more interesting examples that comes from the fusion category. Okay, that is Kitaev and Kong constructed a C star Conan group point from unitary fusion category. Okay. Now here in the following, my version is not the complete version, of guitar and comb because for simplicity, I assume C, the categories multiplicity is free and self-dual. Otherwise, we need to label the vertex with the multiplicity. Right? Then we need to if you consider the non-self-dual case, then you need to put arrows so that you can distinguish an object and its dual. Right? And also, I assume this category has no, its Frobenius tree indicator is trivial, so that we don't have technical problem when we band the strand. So as a vector space, this quantum group point is spanned by the following bases: four legs, trivalence graph, and then labeled by the symbol object from the category C. Okay. Now you can imagine this graph is a basis from the Hom space of A tensor A tensor B to the C tensor D. Okay. Then by this graph basis, we have a vector space, and then for two vectors we can define multiplication. That is, we can join the legs in the middle, just like this example. We join the C and A prime if they are the same. Okay. Otherwise, we will get zero. If you consider the non-self-dual case, then the C has to be equal to the A prime star, okay, so that you can join. So the coefficient comes from when you join these two graphs, you will have a bubble in the middle. Then when you take off the bubble, there will be some coefficient. But here I have adjusted the coefficient. Then the unit for this multiplication is given by this summation. But basically, this summation is obtained from two horizontal parallel line by doing the F move. Okay? So if you imagine two parallel line in a horizontal direction as there's a vacuum in the middle, and then the picture just the 90 degree rotation. So you can do F move to make the two parallel lines as this summation. Then we have co-multiplication. That means we can cut the picture in the vertical direction. Okay? That is, if you look at the result on the right, then you can see we can stack these two pictures in the vertical direction. That means we put the first graph to the top of the second. They can be connected to be a ladder. Then there's a square in the middle. Then we'd use the F move to take off the bubble, and then we have some coefficient in the front. Right? So the co-multiplication just give you a linear combination over all possible decomposition in the vertical direction. That means how you can cut this graph in two pieces in vertically. Okay. Then the co-unit just given by two parallel line it should be the delta function of two parallel line in the vertical direction. Okay. So you can see if you look at the dual algebra H star, then we can still use the same picture to present the basis, but in the dual picture we multiply the graph in the vertical direction. Okay. Then here's the antipole. The antipole just means we are doing a 180 degree rotation. Okay. And the star structure is taking the mirror image. All right, now here is a very particular example for the Fibonacci category. So it has two simple objects, one and tau, and here are the data for the Fibonacci categories. Then the common group point for Fibonacci category is 13 dimensional with the basis. That means we just consider all admissible four-leg trivalence graph and then count the numbers. So we have 13 basis vector. Okay. Then an interesting thing here is that this corner group point is actually the Temperley-Leib-Jones algebra. That is, we can find the generators U1, U2, and U3. They give you the Temperley-Leib relation. And then there's one more relation. It's called the Jones-Wenzel projector. Okay, so this is my favorite example of Wieckhoff algebra. Okay, that means we have the Temperley-Leib algebra also a Wieckhoff algebra. We can do coproduct for the Temperley-Leib algebra, and in general we can define the Wieckhoff algebra structure for more Temperley-Leib algebra. That means so now here this example is for the Temperley-Leib 4. That means it is the algebra of arcs connecting two groups of 4 points. I assume everyone know this algebra. I think it's it's classical, but I don't have chalk. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we consider all of the graph connecting 4 points. Okay. And then we do the multiplication by stacking two such graph in the vertical direction. So the E1 just means E2. It's U1, U2, and U3. Okay. And then they will give you an algebra satisfying those relations. Okay. And also we need to module out. We need to module out the relation that is when you have a loop, then we just replace it by the number golden ratio. And in general, it's the root of Chebyshev polynomial. Okay. Then in order to get a semi-simple algebra, we need to module out more relation that is the Jones-Wenzel projector. So then finally we get the so-called Temperley-Leib-Jones algebra. Okay. Then in general, there's some Wieckhoff algebra structure on the Temperley-Leib Jones when the points are even. Okay, now here is the number of points is 4, and for any number, even number of points, you can get the Wieckhoff algebra structure on the Temperley-Leib. Okay. Then this construction appears in the theory of a subvector. So I think this is an interesting example, and also there might be some Wieckhoff algebra structure on more general, like the planar algebra or something. So, okay, then, yes, I would like to use this particular corner group point to build a Kitaev model. That means the general principle is that we take two special element, they are co-commutative. Okay. So in this algebra, in this corner group point, we can take these two elements. Okay. In general, you can actually compute these two kind of elements starting from the dual basis of H and H star. Then there's explicit construction for these two kind of elements. But I'm not sure whether this is the only choice. That means I'm not sure whether we can just have only one co-commutative star invariant idempotence. Okay. So when we take these two kind of elements, we can write down the exactly solvable Hamiltonian. Okay. And then the next step just to solve, the Hamiltonian. Okay. Well, since the AB, all of the AB operators are projective, then we just compute the action of AB operators on the total Hilbert space. Okay. Then the result will give us the ground state. Okay. So let's first look at the action of A operators on a basis in the total Hilbert space. Now here, our state is an assignment of the element from corner group point HC. That just means we put the four legs trivariance graph around each edge. Okay? Then we can compute the action of A operators. And then the result turns out is a linear combination over kind of a demeasurable picture. That means the result around a vertex, then all the legs need to be compatible. That means we can connect the legs by a circle. Okay. Then in the front we have some coefficients that is a multiple of the F symbol. Okay. Then this picture, if you look at the dual lattice, then this picture may be related to some kind of tensor network in the talk yesterday. I mean I don't know much about the tensor network, but if you look at this picture in the dual lattice, just like originally the lattice is this, then we place the element from H star, the element from HC around the edge. Okay. Then in the dual lattice, we can see after the action of A operators, then the legs must be compatible, so we can connect them. So that we have a thickened lattice. A new thickened lattice. That is, we take a neighborhood of the dual lattice. So maybe it's related to some tensor network. I don't know. Just field is it's similar to something in the talk yesterday. The basis in the HC can be viewed as some kind of matrices. Okay, that means the one vector in HC looks like this. Then you can consider this kind of a tensor or something. It has four indices. Then the label I in the middle just indicated which blocks it comes from. So this is the result after the action of A operators. Then we can reorganize the basis for the projection of A operators. That means we can choose a linear combination of the admissible graph, okay, such that we get a new basis for the projection. Okay? That means we just make a linear combination for all of the graphs such that around each vertex the legs are compatible. Okay? Then we have a new basis. Then it turns out if you continue to compute the action of B operators on the new basis, then the result is the same as the action of the predicate operator in the Leverman model. Okay, that is, we impose a loop in the middle and then do F move and then bubble up everything. Then you will see the result is the same. But on the left hand side, we actually don't have the we don't impose any bubble. We just do commutation, and then do a linear combination stuff, okay. Right? So finally we get an isomorphism between the ground state of the Kitaev model based on the corner group point HC and the ground state of the Leverman model. Okay, so the ground state of Leverman of Kitaev model based on HC is captured by the trial of real TKFD based on the original category C. So it's about the ground state. Then I will say something about two questions I'm interested in. Okay. So the first question is, by the general principle to write down frustration-free Hamiltonian, we just need to take two commutative elements. One is from H, the other one is from H star. Okay. Then I would like to ask what happens if we if we look at the non-semisimple half algebra. Of course, here maybe the result is not a physical theory because we don't have the star structure and what we get. It's not a Hermitian operators or something, but we can still have an operator, Hamiltonian-like operators. It's the sum over all vertex and predicate operators, then we can try to solve the ground state. Then I would like to see is the ground state related to the topology of the surface. Okay. I don't know any particular examples. In this construction. But I guess the result may be related to the Kupferberger invariance. Okay? That is, Kubeberger construct some kind of three manifold inverse using Hopf algebra. I mean finite dimensional Hopf algebra, not necessarily semi-simple. That means we can just take a very general Hopf algebra, only finite dimensional. Okay. Then we have three manifold inverse, but this time we need to consider a three manifold with additional structure, like together with a framing or a combing, or even though just a spin structure. And then I hope to see whether the Kubeberger invariance is related to the Kedive model based on the non-semi-simple Hopf algebra, just like the when we look at the fusion, spherical fusion category, we have trivial invariance. It's kind of semi-simple invariance, and it will give us TQFT that is captured by the Levin model. Okay. So I hope to see the ground state of some lattice model will give us some topological quantum field theory for the Kubeberger invariance. So another another question I would like to ask is that can we go in one more direction? That means what is the 3D Kedive models? I know there have been some work on some particular group, but I would like to ask what is the general algebraic framework to write down those exactly solvable lattice model. That means in our Kedive model, I mean we define the model on a two-dimensional surface, and then we actually use the multiplication and co-multiplication of the algebra. I mean, the Hopf algebra. Then if we have one more direction, a third direction, z, then is there any operation in the z direction? Okay. That means can we have like kind of tri-algebra? I know there has been the notion called a tri-algebra that has one multiplication and two co-multiplication. That means in each direction we have operations. I think I still don't have many particular examples for those algebras. Sometimes it is expressed using the two category language. This just my pure imagination. Okay, so nothing particular to say. Yeah. Okay. Right. So I think. Yeah. This is all I want to talk. Thank you for your attention.
Are there some time for questions? Raise your hands, please.
Okay. Yep.
I'm not remembering where it is in the literature right now, but I seem to recall that somebody has worked out what it means for a weak Hopf algebra to be quasi-triangular. And I'm wondering if the examples that you gave are quasi-triangular. Or if,
so what examples do you...
Particularly the example of the Kataev-Kahn
cryptoid. You mean this example?
Quasi-triangular weak
Hopf? Actually, I don't know whether it's quasi-triangular. I mean, you need to solve the Young-Barkstad equation or something. Yeah, but I think this one is not. But never mind. So yeah, I don't know whether it has an R matrix or not. Yeah.
So presumably the double of the quantum group point would be quasi-triangular, is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just using
the canonical
R matrix.
Like in the Hopf case, there is a correspondence between R matrices and braided the structure or the representation theory of the weak polynomial.
Yes.
So in that case, if your fusion category is a braided fusion category, you have associated that R matrix. That's the reason why the quantum Dirichlet double has an R matrix, because it's braided.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Any other questions?
So you constructed the vacuum projectors here explicitly. Is it similarly like straightforward to construct the other charge projectors?
I'm sorry, I didn't really get your question. Are you asking, can we choose another projectors?
I mean, yeah. Can you write down easily like projectors to each superselection sector at a site?
I'm sorry.
Okay, maybe I'll come ask you later.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Like in the Kataya column model.
Yes.
So they're constructing a weak top-operator quantum group. But on the other hand, if you start with the unitary fusion category, right, then there should be prime duality, some weak top-algebra.
Yeah.
Do they sort of somehow correspond? I mean, it should have the same representation here, I guess, in some sense.
Actually, no. Well, the representation category for this quantum group point is not the C. It's the functor category from a module of C to itself. So it's a kind of group. Yeah. So actually, we can write down the a particular construction for a module. That means we just consider a vector space like this, and then there is an action. Yeah, you can have an action by connecting the legs, and then you will get the representation. Yes?
You said that there is a technical assumption about the, the Frobenius Schur indicator. What happened if this, in the general case?
I don't really go through this technical problem. I mean, so in my computation, I need to swap around the legs. So I don't hope to see the Frobenius Schur indicators. So, but I don't know what is the general result. But I think it may be go through. I don't know.
Okay. So, like you said,
non-semi-simple
Hall-Valgeva might correspond to the Cooper-Burton variant.
That's just my guess.
I was just wondering whether if you consider non-semi-simple, you would also consider like a weakening.
A weakening of what?
What I mean is that, I don't know I don't know if this question makes sense or not, but like Hopf algebra, you can weaken the Hopf algebra. Non-semi-simple, can you still weaken it some more?
Well, I think that the weak Hopf algebra is kind of weakening for a general Hopf algebra. I mean, we do not assume the simplicity. For the non-semi-simple case, we don't require the antiple squares identity. I think that's the difference between non-semi-simple and semi-simple Hopf algebra.
Did you say
that
you still have time for some more questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
there a duality theorem also for non-semi-simple pop-offers? Like the trivial representation category of some, like non-semi-simple pop-offer is true.
Yeah, maybe it's true. I don't have any particular calculation for that. Well, the motivation to address the question on the non-semi-simple non-semi-simple half value is that if you consider, the Coover invariant for semi-simple half algebra, then its representation category will give you the same. Will lead to the same TKFP. This is the result of Kirov. That is, when you consider the ground state of KTF model based on semi-simple category, then the ground state is the same as the ground state from the trivial real gravity based on the representation category of the half algebra. Okay. So the Coover invariants generalize the trivial real invariants because we can take off the restriction on the simplicity. That means if the half algebra is semi-simple, the Coover invariants will become the trivial invariant based on the representation categories. So I would like to ask if we use non-semi-simple half algebra to solve the diagonal model, and then I would guess the result should be related to the Coover invariants. Okay.
So I think next we'll head for coffee, and then we should be back by 11. And before we go, let's thank the speaker here.